Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Wonderful time of worshiping the Lord. And as we continue our series, Liar, Pants on Fire, we'll end it next week, next Sunday, and we'll get into a different series. Let me ask you, have you ever been tricked before? Tricked or schemed, or someone tried to scheme you or trick you? Let me ask, how many of you have gotten that email in the past from the Nigerian prince? Yeah, some of you have. Anyone in here, you've ever been snipe hunting? You've taken someone snipe hunting. How many are like, preacher, I have no idea what snipe hunting even is. Good, see me after church, we're going to go. Okay, some of you will understand that. Some of you are laughing nervously because you have no idea what I just said. That's okay. There's always something trying to scam us, trying to trick us. Almost the bait is there's some truth in it, or we want there to be some truth in it, but it ends up being just a lie at the end. I remember in college, my freshman year, I was at a college and career outing, basically during the fall. And we had a bonfire, we had a hayride that had straw, and so there's, you know, people from our college there, and there was this group of girls that I guess I was kind of flirting with, and this is before I met my wife, by the way. All right, so I'm at Bible college. You go there to get your degree and, you know, your marriage license as well, and so I'm there, and I'm talking with these girls, and straw is being thrown, and I throw some straw in one of their hair. I can't remember which one it was. It was a couple of them, probably. And the one, they're all kind of laughing, just kind of silly stuff you do, right? And one goes, "I'm going to get you back." And I thought she was joking. And as I've gotten older, I realize when a woman says, "I'm going to get you back," she usually means she's going to get you back. 3 months pass. We're in January. This is like October, September. We're in January. I've forgotten all about it. And one of these girls came up with an idea of tricking me and got even a friend of mine in on it. I'm not sure he was a great friend now looking back on it. But this was a trick. On our college campus was a radio station. And there was a group that I liked way back when, and still listen to them every now and then, but... And they knew I liked this group. And my friend said, "Hey, they're going to be giving away tickets for this Christian group. You should call in and see if you get one." So I think her brother worked there. Anyway, I call in and I win. Woo! I won, right? And so I'm so excited. And there's fake tickets involved. There is all kinds of like things going on. And I won a free dinner, and so I'm going to go meet this group for this free dinner. And I get there, and I walk in, and guess who's there? Those four young ladies with big smiles on their faces. And I realized I had been tricked. I had been tricked. And they did pay for my meal, at least. But they got me. They got me good. And so if it involves a free meal, I guess I can be tricked. There's three common lies I want to look at here this morning in our society that they just don't seem to go away. They've been around forever, it seems, and they just won't go away. They're here, and here they are. One, and these lies, they keep us from trusting God. The first one is follow your heart. Just follow your heart. You may have said that here recently, or you've heard that told to you, maybe a grandmother. My grandmother, she's with the Lord now. She loved Jesus. She's with Jesus now. But she used to say that all the time. Looking back, I'm like, that was horrible advice. Then there's God won't give you more than what you can handle. We've heard that one before. Maybe you've said that one before. The third one is, well, blank will never change. They'll never change. Let's look at this first one, though. The first one, the first lie is follow your heart. The truth, though, the truth that the Lord wants us to know here this morning is we're called to follow Jesus. We're called to follow him. And if I had a dime for every time that I heard, just follow your heart, I would have a lot of dimes. I mean, we hear that, it seems, all of the time. That the suggestion, the wisdom that one may think is a wise saying of just follow your heart, we see it on t-shirts, we see it on coffee cups, we see it everywhere, and people say it. It's almost like, even I think some psychologists say that to give guidance, just follow your heart. But at the end of the day, it's not good advice. The idea that the heart is some infallible guide inside you that will not lead you astray is just not true. To think that the heart has like this GPS system inside and that it will just guide you through the winding valleys of life and difficulty and you'll end up right where you need to go because you followed your heart. Let me tell you something. We're going to kind of crush that lie here this morning. It's not true. I'm not saying that you should ignore the feelings in which you have about certain things. I'm not saying feelings don't matter here this morning. But when we end up following our heart, there's some days that I'm glad I don't follow my heart. That if I would have followed my heart on one day, then the next day I'm like, oh man, that was dumb. I'm glad I didn't just listen and follow my heart the other day. But in reality, this secular saying reads a lot like something that you would find in a fortune cookie at a bad Chinese buffet restaurant. By the way, there's a Chinese / Japanese restaurant. It's both. I'm not sure how that works. But over on my side of town, on the west side of town, I don't even know the name of it, but it looks like a place you go to die. I thought about around Halloween time of taking my children there and sending them in just to scare them. In fact, I'm kind of scared to go in there. I'm like, I don't know what they sell in there. I don't know how that place is even still open. One could wonder. But if you know what I'm talking about, it's over by McDonald's over on the west side. You can find it. It sticks out like a sore thumb. Just follow your heart and go in there, okay, folks? That's all you need to know. Your heart, trust me, is saying, run! Trust me, that's what your heart is saying when you see that place. But culture tells us, though, that this seems to be the baseline of what we need in our life to make decisions. Of some difficult decisions of just follow your heart. But the Bible has much to say about the heart. In fact, the book of Jeremiah says this when it comes to the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. Some versions say desperately wicked. Who can understand it? It's Jeremiah saying, who can understand it? I can't understand it. You can't understand it. And if you're always following your heart, you have something you can't understand. Jesus spoke on this even. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. It says, these are from Jesus. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He covered a lot. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Keep that verse there. He says from within twice. He's trying to get our attention. These come from within. In other words, every one of us, because of our heart, if we follow it, it can lead us down some dark, dark paths that will entangle us, that will trap us, and we may not get out of. He's saying there are some deep things that come from the heart. This is why you can be reading your Bible or even be in prayer or just be driving down the road, minding your own business, and then boom, something just pops into your mind. And you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. It comes from within. Those things spring up, boom. That's where it comes from. And Jesus is telling us right here, the heart. The heart, it can't be trusted. It can't be trusted. You can't just follow your heart because you have a defiled heart. Every one of us, we're born with a sinful heart. And it's saying the most vile, disgusting acts a human being can be involved in begin in the heart. And if we believe the teachings of Jeremiah and Jesus concerning the heart, then we should seriously consider this question. If a person was described with these characteristics, would you sign up to follow them? If I had a person and I was talking to you and I said, hey, I know you're looking for a mentor and I found just the perfect person. Someone that you can follow, that you can learn from, and that you really need to follow. They'll show you what to do. Like, oh, great! Let me meet this person. Sure, I'll let you meet. And but tell me a little bit more about this person before I meet them. Before I kind of take this first step of following them, of being mentored by them, I want to know a little bit more. And so I say, sure. Sure, I'd be happy to describe this person. He is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick, produces evil thoughts, has a tendency towards sexual immorality, likes to steal, kill, commits adultery, covets, and is wicked, envious, slanderous, and prideful. To top all that off, he's also foolish. You'd be like, whoa, wait a second, preacher. I'm not interested. You just gave me their resume. That's not someone I want to follow. That's not someone I want to mentor me. But yet, as Jesus described exactly this, of following our heart, this is what our heart brings. And my friend, if you're depending upon your morality, if you're depending upon life decisions, just with the idea of the world's wisdom of just follow your heart, why would you want to follow such a person? Why would you want to do it? It would be unwise. In fact, it would be foolish. Satan described that are decided to attack Eve the same way he attacks today. And it has to do with this follow your heart. It comes from him. It comes from the enemy. See, with Eve, he first attempted to sow doubt toward the word of God in the heart of Eve by asking, did God really say? Did God really say? Almost to kind of get that wedge in there a little bit between you and God and say, did God really say, did he really mean that? But then he called God a liar a couple of verses later in chapter 3 of Genesis. He said, you will not surely die. You're not going to die. In fact, and then it continues in verse 5. It says, you know, God knows that when you eat of it, the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. He's tempting her. He's lying to her. He's giving her a half-truth of you're missing out. God's holding out on you. You'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. It was a trap. And she ate of it. She took it in. The temptation of being your own God. Oh, so Lord, you can just do whatever you want. You can follow your heart. And that's what he was saying to her. You can be your own God, and we like that today. Here's the thing. You will worship someone or something. You will worship someone or something in your life. If it's not Jesus Christ, if it's not the God of the Bible, you're still going to worship someone or something, and it's not going to fill that void in which you need. Because God, this God of the Bible that we serve, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can fill that void. He's it. Everything else is counterfeit. Everything else is just pretend. Everything else is going to tell you to follow your heart. So our hearts, it's not a good leader. We cannot follow it. It is not a loving shepherd leading us to greener pastures. It's a lost and confused sheep that desperately needs rescuing. Because of this, Jesus had to give us new hearts at salvation. No, our hearts will not save us. We need to be saved from our hearts. Even the prophets of old knew how desperately we needed a major heart change and that the Son of God would fulfill this promise. Notice with me in Ezekiel. Ezekiel talks about this. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And I will give you a tender, responsive heart. I used to work in the Good News Club with children at school. We would have a dark heart. And without Jesus, our hearts are dark. That our sin darkens our heart. It makes it stubborn, stony, unresponsive. But Jesus, when he came, he came to give us a clean heart. A clean heart. And that's what he wants to do for you. To give you a clean heart. To change your heart. To change it from one that is stony, stubborn, and to give you a tender, responsive heart. Do you have a tender, responsive heart? See, preacher, I know Jesus as my Savior. I've been saved. Good to see you again, man. And a tender heart. God wants to give you a tender heart, and that's what he does when he saves you. He changes your want to. You see, before you come to know Christ, you're not concerned about what God wants. You're concerned only about what your heart wants. But once you come to know Christ and you put your faith and trust in him, he does a heart change. He changes your heart, and your want to changes. Now, maybe you know Christ, but you're here this morning, and if truth be told, you have a stony, stubborn heart. Like, preacher, I've been saved. I know what you're talking about. I used to have a tender, responsive heart, but my heart is hard. Why is it hard, preacher? Here's why. Here's why your heart. You know Christ as your Savior, but you have a hard heart. There's sin that you love and you won't repent of. There's sin that you're holding on to and you won't get rid of it. You won't make any change. There's no change going on. In fact, how do you know if you have a stubborn heart? That if it's a stony heart? It's real simple. Are you spending time in the Word? The Word of God changes us. It softens us. When you come in, is church a drag to go to? You got to drag yourself out of bed? Oh, it's Sunday. I got to go to church because I'm expected to. We get to come into the house of God to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's places, even in our own country right now, they're not worshiping. The churches aren't even open. There's places in the world that they would die to be able to meet in such a building like this, publicly and openly, without worry if someone bursts. You know, I heard someone say once, and I have not been told this, but I'm sure people are people, but I heard one pastor had someone tell him once, "Preacher, I didn't enjoy the worship this morning." And the preacher replied, "Well, don't worry. It wasn't for you anyway. It was for Jesus." So when we come in here, are you ready to worship God? Are you? And I realize some of us are more outgoing and we lift our hands. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of us, don't like to do that. If you're like me, I can't clap. I love you, but what's wrong with you? You have a stony heart. Turn that back to that Bible verse, if you would. There's a passage I didn't read yet. Jeremiah said this, "I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and for they shall return to me with their whole heart." You see, when you have a heart that's tender and responsive to the things of God, you want to run to him. He changes your heart. He changes your life. He changes your want to and what you desire. What is that like right now in your life? Only you can answer that. So if you think, just follow your heart. No, follow Jesus. I want to read this passage. It's not up there. It's something I added last minute. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And Paul said, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, that he will empower you." How? "With inner strength through the Spirit," who is God. "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts." Notice that. Christ will then make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Here's the other lie that we were told. God will not give you more than what you can handle. But here's the truth. God won't give you more than he can handle through you. Often, we believe or regurgitate the statement, God won't give you more than what you can handle. This is a common one. I've said it before in years past. But really, what we're saying is we don't want more than what we believe we can handle. And if we're honest with ourselves, we may say that or not want that because we like to choose comfort before we choose difficulty. That when we think God has given me more than which I can handle, that's not a good place because it makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes God needs to make us uncomfortable. Sometimes he needs to stretch our faith. And so it makes us realize of how much we need him. In fact, if you could handle everything that came your way, why would you need God? Why would you need faith? Faith is believing that God is telling the truth. And so why would you need to believe that if you could handle everything on your own? Because a lot of what we deal with in life, we can't handle. There's times in our life, it's much more than what we could ever handle on our own. And when you realize that, He will give you more than what you can handle, but he'll never give you more than handle than what he can work and do through you. You see, God is faithful. In fact, oftentimes this saying is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but it's kind of misconstrued. It's misunderstood at times. This is what it says. Let anyone who thinks that he takes stand, at least he should fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Don't miss that. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Keep that Bible verse there. It says, God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Being tempted is not sinful. We all are tempted. Jesus was tempted, but yet he chose not to sin. The question is, what will you do in those situations? God is saying, I'm promising you, I'm letting you know, I'm going to give you a way out of when you're tempted to keep you from sinning. For example, maybe for you, at the workplace or wherever you're at, there's gossip going on. You can confront it, say, we're not doing that here, or you can walk away. Maybe in those situations, it's a tense situation. Maybe someone, you're like getting ready to address it, and you're going to address it, and maybe you need to address it. But maybe in certain situations, then your phone rings. It's like God gives you a way out. Maybe you're looking at, or an image comes across your electronics in which you have, and you realize you have a decision to make, to dwell on this or to move on, to hit the power button, a way of escape. God gives us different things, ways in which we can escape when it comes to temptation. And notice this, God is what? He's faithful. And even temptation itself, this verse deals with that we deal with things in life that we can't handle. We can't handle temptation. So God is faithful and he gives us a way out. And he'll give you a way out. And he is faithful. And God remains faithful to provide a way of escape and gives us the ability to endure temptation when it comes our way. And if you think about it, all of life is more than what we can handle. We don't exist without God, or the God who creates. We don't breathe without the breath he places in our lungs. We can't comprehend and make decisions without the brain he has given us. We can't feel, love, and care without the heart and soul he has placed inside of us. We can't navigate through this journey called life without the wisdom that comes from him. And we can't endure suffering without a God who gives us hope of a brighter tomorrow and a promise that he has a plan and a purpose for everything and for everyone. We can't truly heal unless there is a God who heals us. Yes, all of life is more than what we can handle, but it's not more than what God can handle through us. There's things right now that you believe because the Bible says, and that's wonderful. There's things I believe because I've chosen to trust in the Lord. Here's the wonderful part, though. So when life is more than what you can handle, and you're trusting and you're leaning on God, You'll find yourself in situations where you see God come through. And instead of believing God will come through, you get to experience, and then you know God has come through. You know, this week, I was doing something new. I like to try new things. Sometimes I fail at them. Sometimes they work out. Sometimes they work out, but I messed them up a couple different times. So this week, my wife's birthday is December 1st. And then we have Christmas. And then we have our anniversary, January 4th. I didn't think that one through, obviously. And I'm like, what do I get her? Because there's an agreement in our marriage. I don't buy her jewelry and I don't buy her clothes. Okay? Am I the only one? Okay, I guess I am. Okay, one other person. I don't buy those things for my wife. She buys them herself. I have tried and thought it was a good idea at one point in time, and I've chosen not to do that. And so she does not have a lack of jewelry and clothes. But anyway, I was like, honey, I was thinking about what to get you for your birthday and Christmas, and she's been bugging me about the backsplash in our kitchen for 2 years. And I'm like, okay, all right. This is a year. I'm going to get it done. So I started. I watched videos on how to do it. I had a general idea. I'm decently handy. Handy enough to make a mess, usually. And that's pretty much me. I know enough to be dangerous. And so I started that project. It's halfway done. One half is done. The other half, we'll see. All right? We'll see what happens. That probably would be wise to do. You know, so if I'm walking with a limp next Sunday, you know what happened. All right? I'm just letting you know. But, you know, I had an idea how things should go. I believed how I should do it, but I didn't know until I experienced it. And there's some things in your Christian life that God's going to give you more than what you can handle, and you're going to experience and know how faithful He really is. And He is faithful, and He is good. And you will see that He is more than enough. Psalms 46 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. He's never promised you would not have trouble. He has never promised you would not have heartache. He's never promised you would not have suffering. But He has promised, and He will keep His promises of walking beside you and helping you through the valley of the shadow of death. That He has promised. And He's promised a hope in Jesus Christ and for the future. And so Scripture also tells us in Isaiah, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here's the last one. Here's the last one. It's why, and this may be one of the major ones. Is well, blank will never change. So-and-so will never change. It's one of the greatest lies from our enemy to discourage followers of Jesus that blank will never change. So who's your blank? Who's that person that pops into your mind like, oh, that's my cousin, or that's my uncle, or that's my grandpa, or that's my dad, or mom, or so-and-so, or coworker? They would never change. And that's a lie straight from the enemy's mouth that he wants you and I to believe to discourage us from sharing the gospel to other people. They could never change. You don't understand all the things in which they have done. You're right, I don't. But the Word of God is very clear that Jesus is in the changing business. I love the story of Bert, the lead singer of Mercy Me. Many of you know the song in which he wrote. He wrote many different songs, but I can only imagine. They made a whole movie out of it. And it's a wonderful story. It's a story about his father who abused him, who beat him, who spoke down to him when he decided to pursue a musical career and criticized him, was not good to him at all. And in high school, his father got cancer. And he thought to himself, I heard this out of Bert's own mouth at a concert. He was glad. He's like, man, my dad's going to die. I don't have to deal with him anymore. But in that process, In that process, his father came to know Christ. And out of Bert's own words, he said, I saw a man who was so far from God. And I saw that if the gospel of Jesus Christ could change that man, he could change anybody. And I've been convinced ever since. You know who really needs to change when we believe that so-and-so could never change? It's us. It's you. It's me. When we have that mindset, so-and-so will never change. No, you need to change. Because when we have that mindset, it is not of God. It does not come from him. We're believing a lie that comes straight from the enemy. And it's one that needs to be corrected. You see, God is our creator. He is the one who made us, who knows us. Jesus said this when it comes to the impossible, when it comes to that person who can't be changed. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what Jesus will do for you. And some of you may be in here, or you're watching, and you think to yourself, I need to clean myself up. I need to get some things right before I come to God. You'll never be clean enough. You'll never be good enough. Why not just come to him as you are, and you know, let him do the cleaning. Let him do the cleaning. Anyone like to clean in here? I don't. It's much easier to let someone else clean it. Right? Yeah. Let him do the cleaning. And he wants to do it. And he'll change you. He'll soften your heart. And your life won't ever be the same. And those are the lies. Those are the three common lies that the enemy continues to push. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. No, follow Jesus. Just... God won't give you more than what you can handle. No, he won't give you more than what he can handle through you. Well, blank will never change. No, Jesus changes people. That's what he does. And that's what Southside Baptist Church is about as well. It's about helping people come to know Jesus as their Savior. To let God, Jesus Christ, be known and to share him with the world. I pray that you know him. Paul's going to come up and he's going to start playing here for us a guitar. Let's go into an attitude of prayer, if we would, at this time. I just want to ask you a couple questions. The Father, thank you that you change hearts, that you can change anybody. Those who are messed up, those who don't feel worthy, those who are meaner than a snake, God, you can change them. Make them more like Christ. You can take that dark heart and give them a clean heart. You can change their want to, from wanting to please themselves and to follow their heart, to wanting and desiring to worship and to follow you. God, I pray this morning, if someone does not know Christ as their Savior, that they will pray right now for the first time. And you can pray with me right now to give your life to Christ. Pray, dear God, I'm repenting of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'm asking Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I'm going to follow God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. If you prayed that here this morning, if you're watching, message us. We'd love to hear from you. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you, not by name. I'm not going to come down to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but will you raise your hand high in the air and say, Pastor Lucas, I prayed that for the first time. I'm asking Christ into my life. So Pastor Lucas, I need to get baptized. I want to get baptized next week. That's me. You raise your hand and say, Pastor Lucas, I want to get baptized next week. I know Christ as my Savior. I realize I need to follow him in baptism. Father, we thank you that you're a heart-changing God and that you're a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us when we go through difficult times. So, Father, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace. And everyone said here this morning, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.